My subject this morning, a man of strong conviction. A man of strong conviction. Please turn with me to the book of Micah, chapter 6 and verse 8. Book of Micah, chapter 6 and verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Particularly I wanted to consider the last portion, to walk humbly with thy God. Micah was a younger contemporary to Prophet Hosea. He is called the Moreshite since he came from that area. According to Book of Micah chapter 3 verse 8, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of the judgment of might. I declare unto Jacob his transgressions, to Israel his sin. Micah was a man of strong conviction, corresponding courage. As a true preacher, uncovered the sins and pointed out to the coming Christ. As we know from Micah chapter 5, the prophecy of concerning Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. As a prophet, he went against the stream, as it were, uttered truth the people did not want. For this he was consequently martyred. As just the usual, as of lot of faithful prophets, his cry in essence was back to the ethical righteousness. Micah brushed aside all form of ritual in favor of righteousness given by God, and that had a heart for the need of others. It was the righteousness based upon God's salvation. The book of Micah, he wrote, his characterized by deep spirituality, with a simple but rugged, harsh style. Sin and corruption, the sighing, the agony of the people over misrule of men in authority, the insistence on return to God, are all dealt with in uncertain terms. Chapters 1, 2 and 3 mainly speaks about the judgment. Chapter 4 and 5 speaks about God's comfort. Chapter 6 and 7 speaks about God's salvation. In the book of Micah, there are three divisions, and each of his book, each begins with his call to hear. Micah 1, 2 and 3, 1, 6 and 1, so on. So Micah was a very strong in his conviction, what he wanted for people to hear. He was wanted to tell people of God's coming judgment. Micah's prophecy abounds the allusion of the good shepherd who is to come and his pitiful care for his flock. So Micah prophesies during the reign of Jotham, Ahaz and Hezekiah. So he has covered quite a variety under the variety of kings. Micah, unlike Isaiah, who was a politician probably, he did not censure his host looking to Egypt or to Assyria for help. He denounces the depravity of nation, threatens the vengeance of God. Micah was probably a farmer, owned a plot of land, in the vivid sympathy with the class to which he belonged. He knew what he was talking about. The land, hunger of rich men, always deprecated, was positively dangerous to a country like Palestine, with a little foreign trade, relying mainly on the produce of the soil to support their citizens. The grasping variants of large landowners doomed to poverty on a considerable part of population. So Micah stands out as a preacher to the poor and to the oppressed. And so Micah, he regarded himself as selfish luxury joined with the oppression of the poor as the crowning sin of Judah. This is the background where Micah come from. The people were heavily taxed, the Assyrians demanding large payments in a tribute to satisfy their lavishness in their architectural magnificence. Thus the Zion was built up with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. You can see where Micah is coming from. Chapter 3 verse 10 of Micah says, they built up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity because of such exaction and idolatry. Micah was called to empower to declare the judgment of God. Are we any better? When we consider the times that we live in, does it not fit what Micah is bringing out here? Humble walking with God is a great duty and a most valuable concernment for believers. Micah chapter 6 verse 8 that we read, to walk humbly with God. What does the Lord God require of thee? This is sufficiently stated in the words of this text itself, which begins emphatically proposed to stand not in need of any further explanation. We need not expound any greater details. Very clear. What does God require of you? Is to walk humbly with Him. As a parallel and a proof, we can see from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 10, 12 to 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, that the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for my good. That which is summarily expressed in the text by walking humbly with God is here more largely described with the same preface. What does the God, Lord God, require of thee? We are saved. We are purchased. We are washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What does God require of us? To walk in His ways. To obey His commandments. And secondly, the place of the same importance as the excellency of this concernment of the believers, which is the second consideration of it. We have in the answer of the scribe commanded by our Savior, Mark's Gospel chapter 12 and verse 33, to love him with all his heart, with all understanding, and with all soul, with all strength, to love then his neighbor as himself, is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. As if God should say, in these days, this is better than any other preaching, any other of all your hearings, any of your private meetings and conferences, all your fastings, the whole burnt offering and sacrifices were then of instituted worship of God appointed by him and acceptable to him, as are the things which I now mention. But all these outward things, ceremonial things, may be counterfeit, may be hypocritic, may perform hypocritic and perform the outward work of man, work of them, as they often offered sacrifices, but walking humbly with God cannot, nor are they in the best of men in any value, but as they are all part and fruit of the humble walking. If in under the performance of them there be, as there may be, a proud, unmortified heart, not subdued to the law of the spiritual life, not humble in all the things to walk with God, both they and their performance are detested of God. God has no pleasure in them. So that though these things ought to be done, yet our great concernment lies, as in the main, in humble walking with God. Only let your conversations be as becometh the gospel. The word of God says, Philippians 1:27, Oh, let your conversations be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This is the introduction of the expression beginning of this verse. What does the Lord require of thee? Do not mistake. This is a great thing that he requires of us and of each one of us, to walk humbly with him in every step of the way, in every walk of life, is to obediently follow his word, implicitly trust in him, and to serve him and to walk with him humbly. The chief end of the believer's glory is of God. This is so, or ought to be so. For this purpose they were all made. They are all made for this purpose. They purchased to be a peculiar people. Now the scripture everywhere teaches us that the great means of our glorifying God is by our humble walking with him. John's Gospel chapter 15 and verse 8. Here is my Father glorified, that he bear much fruit, so shall he be my disciple. Bear fruit, much fruit, more fruit, abundant fruit. There are stages of fruit mentioned in John's Gospel 15. Fruit, much fruit, more fruit, and abundant fruit. Be it so, but in most eminent manner, it is by our bearing fruit. You know, the general rule that our Savior gives to His followers, found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Dear friends, it is from our good works that men give glory to God, which advises again by the renewal by the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 12 says, "Having your conversation honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they call, behold, glory God in the day of a visitation." It brings God glory when we walk humbly with God. When others see our behavior and our walk in the way of the Lord, it glorifies God. It brings Him joy. "Hear, my children, walk in my ways." Psalm 32:8. He says, "I will direct you. I will lead you. I will show you the way that you should walk." When we are obedient to Him and to His voice and to His word, God does guides us and leads us. Now there are various ways whereby the glory abounds to God by believers humble walking with Him. It gives Him glory in the doctrine of grace. It gives Him glory in the power of His grace, that He is a king to be obeyed. It gives Him glory in His kingdom, the first in His order and beauty, and secondly multiplying His subject. It gives God glory in the doctrine of grace and of the doctrine of the gospel, which is therefore it is called glorious gospel of God. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11, "According to the glorious gospel of blessed God, which was committed to my trust." It is a gospel that is committed to us. It is to walk in His ways, to serve Him according to the word of God, because it brings glory to Him. When we obey His words, when we walk in His ways, it pleases God to know that His children are obedient and walking in His ways. God, it pleases God to bless us. Because it is so, bring glory to Him, walking according to this rule, we adorn the doctrine of grace in all things. This is that which is grace teaches us. The substance is to walk humbly with God. And when men professing to walk, answerable to it, it is rendered glorious. When the world shall see that these are the fruits of the doctrine that produces, they must need to magnify it. The pride, folly, the wickedness of the professors hath been the greatest obstacle that ever the gospel received in this world. Nor will it be by any endeavors whatever, by advance, until there is more conformity unto it in them who make the greatest profession. Then is the word glorified, when it hath free course and progress. The 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Secondly, the humble walking with God gives Him the glory of the power of His grace. His convert, sanctifying grace, when the world shall see the poor, the proud, selfish, rebellious, forward, perhaps dissolute and corrupt creature made gentle, meek and humble, self-denying, sober, useful, they cannot be but inquire after the secret and hidden virtue of the power which the principle such a change. What makes a rebellious man, a hard-hearted man, when he converted and brought into Lord Jesus Christ, washed his precious blood, and makes him as a broken-hearted, broken man, and then from then on to turn and walk humbly with God. Oh, the mighty Holy Spirit, the wonder-working power of God, the blessed salvation of Christ, the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin and makes us children of God. What does God require of you? To walk with Him humbly. It is not in our nature to humble ourselves, to walk with God. We are in opposition to God, naturally. All parts of it. No angels or men can persuade us to do it. Our carnal mind is enmity to Him, not to subject to God's law. Nor can it be to have our souls humbled, together to be brought to the foot of God, made always ready, willing, obedient, turned in their old, the whole course changed in all our ways and into the principles of it. This glorifies the grace of God which is bestowed in Christ, by which alone it is that work is wrought. When people say that, okay, I forgive you, when people do wrong, then they say sorry, and people say, okay, I forgive you. But you know, dear friends, matter of course may not be very long before something else happens, and the same thing that what they have forgave is racked up again. We bring up the whole stories over and over again. But our Lord Jesus Christ, when He forgives, He reminds us of our sins so that we may seek forgiveness. But He does it in order to forgive us. But men bring our old faults and failures. They do it in order to shame us. But when God brings our memories, our faults and failures, He brings to our memory in order to forgive, not to shame us. He wants us to be righteous in His sight. He clothed us with His righteousness, took our sins upon His shoulder, upon Himself, died on the cruel cross, so that we may be called the children of God. And thirdly, it gives Him the glory of His kingdom. Gives God glory in the doctrine of grace. The humble walking with God gives Him the glory of His power, of His grace. And now it gives Him the glory of His kingdom. Now if on all this, on all various order of considerations, God be glorified in humble walking with Him beyond anything else in this world, this humble walking must certainly be great and incomparable. The humble walking must certainly be the great and incomparable commitment, concernment of all of those whose chief end and the advance of the glory, Christ, glory of God. And Father, it is our great concernment because God is greatly delight in it. It is well pleasing to Him. Humble walking professes is the great delight of God. If this is our aim, if this be our great interest, that we please God that He may delight in us and rejoice over us, this is the way whereby it is to be. Isaiah 57:15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name holy, I dwell in high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to receive the heart of contrite ones." How beautifully Isaiah portrays here the high, "For thus the high and lofty one that inhabiteth in eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of humble, of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite one. As I dwell," God says, "on a high and holy place, delight to abide in the heavens where I manifest my glory, so I will dwell the humble and the contrite spirit with a delight and joy. It pleases Him to dwell in us. God who created heaven and earth, a mighty God, God breathed word, declares that He is pleased to dwell in us. Men in opposition to this frame, maybe what they will be in an outward profession, proud men, nothing takes away the pride in the sight of God but this humble walking with Him. Now the proud He knoweth afar." Psalm 138:6. "Though the Lord is high, yet He respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off." God knows our heart. He takes notice of them with scorn and indignation. They are to Him an abominable thing. It is three times in the gospel, in the word of God asserted in the scripture that God resisted the proud or scorneth the scorner and giveth grace to the humble and lowly. The first reference is Proverbs 3:24. "Surely he scorneth the scorner, but he giveth grace to the lowly." James 4:6. "He giveth more grace, wherefore," he said, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." 1 Peter 5:5-6. "Likewise the younger, submit yourself to the elder. Yea, all you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." God scorns, hates, resists, sets Himself against such men, but He gives grace and favor to the lowly, to the humble. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that He have built for me, and where is the place my seat, my rest? For all those things that mine hand hath made, these things have been said the Lord, but to the man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Ye hear the word of the Lord. He that trembleth at his word, your brethren that hateth you, that cast you out of my name for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, they shall be ashamed. Verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 66. He deals there with the professing people. Men that in all they did, let the Lord be glorified. These men are made of other acceptance with him, and to have him delight in them, pretended principally two things. They glory in their temper. The high and lofty house that was built in his own name, says God, as to this, do you think that I have any need of it? Or any delight in it? Or is it such a goodly or glorious fabric in your eyes. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. My hands have created and made all these things. What we need to have of this house you have built, or the delight in it? Where is it? What is in it? I made everything. They plead his worship and service. The duties they performed, their sacrifices, their obligations, praying and hearing. Alas, God says, all these things I abhor. I hate it. And so he compares them to the things which his soul did most hate, which is the most severely foretold. And verse 3, Isaiah 66. He says, you have killed an ox and all the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Yea, they have obvious reasons. They have chosen their ways, and their soul delighteth in their abhorrence, abominations. But if God will take delight in none of these things, if neither temple nor ordinances, worship or duty of the religion will prevail, what is it that delights in him? What gives God glory? What gives him joy? Verse 2, Isaiah 66, for all these things hath mine hand has made. Those things I have said the Lord. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and contrite spirit, that trembleth at my word. Respect for God's word. Trust in his word. Put his word first. Consult the oracle. Study the word of God. Meditate upon it. Told Joshua 1:8. This word be not depart from thy mouth. Meditate day and night, when you sleep, when you walk, when you dream, in every aspect. Think on this word. Meditate on God's word. Lo, now the proud prophet Pharisee come and boast his righteousness, his duties, his worship, his performances. The eyes of God is on the poor creature around the corner that is giving himself in a sovereign mercy, following after him. Upon that account, it is a hard thing to excel in humble walking, and it's easier to obtain by any other means, but God delights not in them. Christ proposes, learn of me, I am lowly and meek. Lowly in my heart, ye shall find rest for your soul. Let this mind be in you. Apostle says, that was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to equal with God. He describes in the next verses, in his humbling and emptying himself, making himself poor, nothing, that he might do the will of God. Coming to his foot, waiting for his command, doing his will cheerfully. Lo, let it, he says, the mind of Christ be in you. Let's give some application. Is humble walking with God is our great concernment? Do we look? Do we consider how important it is that we walk humbly with God? Let us make it our business and our work to bring out our hearts and to all in these days. Whether there shall be peace or war among the nations, whether my gifts be any or many or few or great or small, whether I have a good reputation or bad reputation in the world, but only whether I walk humbly with my God or not. Dear friends, this one is necessary. What does the Lord God, thy God, require of thee? But this. What does God, Christ, call but for this? What does the whole sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit tend to, but that we may walk humbly with God? Finally, in conclusion, let us consider one or two things. In humble walking with God, we will find peace. In every condition, learn of me. I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The soul that sets up its rest and makes its great commencement to walk humbly with God. This alone will make us useful to our generation and fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. On this depend all the glory that we bring to God and all the good that we do for others. Let us then make this our business in our Christian life, in our walk of life, to aim at it, and in the strength of Christ we shall have peace in it. What does the man God require of you? To walk in his ways. Amen.